Most very dry tonight. I don't know if it's the heat or what it is, but it's very warm up here. As I look down, I'm sure you're warm down there too, so don't be afraid to take off your coat. Luke chapter 17, we want to commence to read, breaking into the chapter. Luke chapter 17, verse 22. And he said, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things, and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, and were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they planted, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. If you just turn back over to the book of Genesis, and to the chapter 19. Genesis 19, and the verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape up to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to me, near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. It is not a little one, and my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou come hither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew these cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Amen. And we know that God always blesses the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow for a word of prayer. From the two Bible readings that we have made tonight, that we want to consider Lot or Lot's wife. I'm sure Lot is a character that is well known to you all here in Coleraine tonight. Lot was a man in the scriptures who was saved. In the scriptures in the New Testament, we discover that Lot is referred to and Lot is called a righteous man. Lot was saved, but only just. If you want to put it into our terms, into our language, we could say tonight that Lot was saved, but only by the skin of his teeth. Lot is in heaven tonight, but he's only there by the skin of his teeth. He had a saved soul, but a lost life. What I mean by that is, I mean that Lot was saved, his sins had been washed away, he was in a proper standing with the Lord, but he wasted his life, he squandered his life. And if you know anything about the story of Lot, you will know that he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, an evil and a wicked place. And he followed after the things of time and sense. And it's easy for a Christian to waste their life. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a Christian. How do you spend your time? Time is the most valuable possession that you have besides your salvation and your soul. Whenever it becomes our time to die, if we are the wealthiest and the richest man alive, we can't buy another 20 seconds for it all. Imagine. The most precious possession besides your salvation and your soul is time. And how much time do we really waste? How much of our life have we squandered after things that at the end of the day account for nothing? Lot did exactly that. Yes, Lot was a righteous man. Yes, Lot was saved. But Lot wasted his life. In this portion tonight that we want to consider, we want to look at Lot's wife. Now, there's no name given for her. It's just Lot's wife. The character in the message, she was almost saved, but lost. So on one hand, here was Lot. Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a man who was saved, but only just. And his wife, she was almost saved, but yet she was lost. She's not in heaven tonight. She was lost. She perished. In Luke chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ has referred to Lot's wife whenever he is warning the hearers about judgment. He is warning about the swift and the terrible judgment that will overtake men someday. If you turn back there to the portion of Luke chapter 17, you will see that the Lord begins to speak about things as it was in the days of Noah, the activities of men, the things that they do, how much they want to please themselves and go after the things that keep them happy. And then the Lord begins to say about at the end of the time, whenever there will be two men in one bed, one shall be taken, the other shall be left. Two women grinding, one taken, one left. Two men in the field, one taken and the other left. The Lord here is speaking about those who are ready to go and those who aren't. Judgment will overtake them someday, and the swift and terrible judgment someday will overtake you, and it will be your time to die. One day you will die. The Bible is clear about that. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9, verse 27. But the Lord here is warning the people about judgment. These events that the Lord refers to here, they actually happened. Some people would try and downplay these and say, oh well, it's only a story. The Lord always spoke in parables, and a parable is only a story. The Lord was illustrating a truth, or the Lord was trying to teach them something about life. What the Lord was really saying here was, remember Lot's wife, because she perished. Remember Lot's wife. Some would say that it's folklore, it's folk talk, it's only a fable. Friend, tonight what we have read in Luke chapter 17 and over in Genesis, those were actual events. Those were historical events that really did happen. How do we know? Well, they're authenticated by the Lord himself. In Luke chapter 17 and the verse 32, he said, remember Lot's wife. The Bible says that the Lord can't lie. The Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't tell us to remember a person who didn't exist. The Lord Jesus Christ wouldn't draw our attention to a character in some story. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling us to remember Lot's wife because of what happened to her. That's why he draws our attention to Lot's wife. He is warning his hearers of swift judgment which overtook them. And here tonight in Coleraine, I think we ought to stop for a few moments and just look at Lot's wife. What happened, Lot's wife? Maybe you say to me tonight, Mark, what does Lot's wife have to do with me? Well, it has everything to do with you. And I think that we need to take time and we need to stop and we need to look at it. For the simple reason is, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, remember Lot's wife. So the Lord, it's not me, the Lord has said to you tonight in our scripture reading, remember Lot's wife. The Lord has said it, not me. It's for our own eternal good. There are five simple things that we ought to remember concerning Lot's wife. Five very simple things. Turn over to a portion, 2 Peter chapter 2. I think it's good that we look at this, 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So this verse is telling us here the Lord has destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason that he did it was so that it would be an example to all of those who followed after. In verse 7, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked.
for that righteous man dwelling among them. So there we know that Lot was saved. We know that Lot was a child of God. Why? Because he's described as being a righteous man. We are told here in 2 Peter that the conversation, the filthy conversation of those which he dwelt amongst, it vexed him. It upset him. It annoyed him. It tells us there, it vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So his soul was righteous. Lot was a saved man. Now I want you to keep that in mind tonight as we preach this message. Lot was saved. Lot is in heaven, but his wife is lost. A married couple. One is saved. And one is lost. Remember, the first thing that we ought to remember about Lot's wife is this. The privilege of Lot's wife. The privilege of Lot's wife. She was the wife of Lot. We have established this already. He was saved and she wasn't. Lot was a righteous man. Lot was a believer. Yet she perished. She was married to a saved man. She was married to a godly man. Maybe not a man who lived a really, really pristine godly life because of some of the things that he did, the places that he went, and the lifestyle that he had. But in general, Lot was a righteous man. Lot is now in heaven. She was married to a believer, yet she was lost. Maybe you're here tonight and you're married, and maybe the person that you're married to is saved. And maybe in that marriage, you're the person that's still outside of Christ. Well, let me tell you tonight, your loved one, that person that you share the bed with at night, that person that you sit beside in the car, that person that you watch over the dinner table, that person is going to heaven and you're going to be lost. In God's great eternity, you will be cut off not only from the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven, but from your loved one and from the rest of your family. And that's exactly what happened to Lot's wife. All of the times he had believed in God, all of the times that he had prayed to God, all of the times that he even worshipped God, yet she still remained outside the Lord. She was unconverted. These are husband and wife that we're speaking of. They shared the same bed. They lived together. They did things together. They went places together. But in God's great eternity, they were so far apart. And maybe you're here tonight and you're saved. Maybe you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe you're engaged to somebody, maybe you're married to somebody, and you could just never, never picture yourself without that loved one. You could never picture yourself without your wife or your husband, or maybe even your children. But maybe you're here tonight in Coleraine, and your husband or your wife and all of your children are saved. And you're the only one in the family who's not saved. Well, tonight I have to tell you that in God's great eternity, you're going to be cut off from them. For all of God's eternity. For all of God's great eternity. Forever and ever and ever. How sad that would be. For parents to be separated from their children in God's great heaven. How sad that would be for you to be cut off from your wife in God's great heaven. How sad it would be for you to be cut off from your husband in God's great heaven. It happened to Lot. It happened to Lot's wife. The Lord says, remember Lot's wife. Remember the privileges that this woman had, living in a home with a righteous man. Did you ever examine the privileges that you have? Maybe you're a young person in this meeting tonight. Did you ever look at the privileges that you have? Born into a Christian home, a mother and a father that prays for you, a granny or a granda that prays for you, a church that preaches the gospel, that prays for your soul that you might be saved, that you might be ready for heaven and have life more abundant than Jesus. Did you ever think of your privileges that you have? Do you despise those privileges? Do you turn your back on those privileges? This woman did not repent. And the only punishment for somebody that doesn't repent is to perish. Except you repent and believe the gospel, you'll be lost. How privileged Lot's wife was, but still she perished. You know, friend, tonight, with all of the love that I have in my heart for your soul, I would love to see you saved. Some of you here tonight, I don't even know your name. I know your face. I don't know your name. But I would love to see you saved. And with all of the love that I have in my heart, I would encourage you and I would exhort you to come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the privilege that you have is unbelievable. To hear the gospel week after week after week, with that privilege comes tremendous responsibility. With that knowledge, you have a responsibility to say yes or to say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. If your house was on fire or your car was on fire. A number of years ago, my wife's car, it went on fire. It stopped on the M3 flyover. And she stopped. And there the policeman stopped with her and told her, "Do you know your car is on fire?" She says, "I do." And she got out of the vehicle. She didn't really know it was on fire, but she knew that something was wrong with it. So out she got. But how foolish she would have been to have sat on in her car. And if I was to come to you tonight and say, "Your house is on fire, get out, get out." With that knowledge, there comes responsibility. You must get out. You have to get your family out and get to that place of safety. And I'm telling you tonight, friend, you need to be saved. You need to be ready for heaven. And with that knowledge, there comes a tremendous responsibility. You don't realize how big a responsibility that is. Because whenever you stand before the Lord and the Lord says, "What did you do with that knowledge? Those sermons, those Sunday school lessons, those pleadings that your mom and your dad had with you, what did you do with them? You just ignored them. You didn't listen. You just turned your back on it and walked away." Do you think that in God's great eternity that will go unpunished? Of course it won't. There is always a punishment for disobedience. How privileged Lot's wife was. Let me ask you tonight, have you ever examined the privileges that you have? You think of the privileges that belong to you here tonight in Korean. Will you be saved? Or will you be lost? Will you put that knowledge to good use for time and for eternity? Or will you just ignore it and go on your merry way? Lot's wife was privileged, but yet she perished. And tonight in Korean, you're privileged because you've heard the gospel. God has been merciful to you. I don't know how you've got here. I don't know why you're here. I don't know how often you come. I don't know how many times you've heard the gospel preached. But one thing I do know is you're here tonight. And if you've never heard it before, it's like this. We were born in sin. Of ourselves, we can't take away that sin. We can't get to heaven ourselves. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to save you. You must come to Him and trust Christ. It's as simple as that. Tell me, friend, tonight, what will you do with that knowledge? Lot's wife was privileged. But notice also, remember the warning of Lot's wife. Lot's wife was warned. Lot's wife perished, although she received a clear warning concerning her danger. You see, Lot's wife could never say that she had never heard about the judgment that was to fall. She could never say that nobody had ever told her that God was going to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. You turn over there to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. In the early part of that chapter, in verse 12, we're introduced to two men. These men come to Lot, and in verse 12, they ask Lot the question, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." Verse 17, "And it came to pass, they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou on all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." What those verses simply mean is this. Angels came to Lot and to his family to tell him that God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. What are angels? Angels are messengers. An angel is somebody with a message. That's what the word means. An angel is a messenger. I know I don't look like it, but I'm an angel tonight. I'm the messenger in this place to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a message for you that you need to be saved. Here were angels that came to Lot. And they told Lot, "Take all that you have, take your family, and go away from this place." The Bible says, "Escape to the mountain. Don't look behind, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou on all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." That was the warning. The angels knew that God was going to destroy the place because of the wickedness. I'm going to tell you tonight that the Lord is going to destroy this earth again. You need to be saved. You need to be ready for heaven. You need to be ready to die. That's the warning tonight. And here were these angels, and they told Lot, you must leave this place. You really have to go. I believe that Lot's wife had knowledge of this warning. I believe that she was told about this warning. The Bible says there that Lot went out and he told his sons-in-laws, he told his daughters. Do you think he's going to keep a thing like that from his wife? Of course not. She would have known too. She would have known what she had to do. There are people today who have not heard about the judgment to come. There are people today in countries around the world who have never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have. You have. What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? What have you done with His offer of the gospel? What have you done with Jesus? Do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Jesus died to save you? Do you know that you must come to Him in repentance and in faith? You will never be able to say, I never heard. Nobody ever told me. If you were to leave this church building tonight and say, I will never be back in a church again. If you were to leave Corrine tonight and say, I will never go back to a gospel preaching church ever again. And you were to never ever hear that you need to be saved ever again in your life. You still have a knowledge that you know that you must be saved. That you must be ready for heaven. Tell me tonight, what will you do with Jesus? You will never be able to say when you stand before Him, nobody ever told me. I have to tell you tonight that I speak with a lot of people on the doors. And I believe that the majority on the doors that I speak to, unfortunately we have to say that the ministers that they have don't preach the gospel. They don't tell them that they need to be saved. And in the hearts of those people, they believe that whenever they stand before God, their excuse is this. My minister told me that I was okay, and I never knew. I believe that's their excuse as they stand before God. Your friend, tonight that's an excuse that they can't use because I have turned up at their door and I have told them about Jesus Christ. And here tonight I have turned up in Coleraine and I have told you about the Lord. Will you not get saved? Will you not come to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a wonderful Savior. I'll tell you, He means everything to me. And a lot in this meeting are the same. He means everything to them. Lot's wife was well warned. The danger of every unsaved soul is not getting saved. Notice with me, thirdly, the effort of Lot's wife. Remember the effort of Lot's wife. Lot's wife perished, although she made some effort to be saved. We have to notice that. From the record, we learn that she rose up early with Lot. The Bible tells us clearly that she got up early with him. Together, they set out to leave the city of Sodom. But she didn't make it. She never reached that safe haven. Genesis 19, verse 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. She never made it. She never made it to that safe place. But you will see there in Genesis chapter 19 that whenever the angels came to Lot, they said, Lot, you need to leave this place. You need to go to the mountain. You need to go to that place of safety. And Lot, he disputed it with them. He said, oh, not so, my Lord. And he began to say that, I cannot escape to the mountain, verse 19. Let some evil take me and I die. I can't go that far. I can't leave it until then. What happens if something happens? What happens if something goes wrong and some evil overcomes me and I die? Let me go to Zoar, a little city, that little safe haven, that little safe place. That's what he says in verse 20. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. That city is near. The mountain is too far. Let me go to the near place. That little city, that little safe haven. And of course it was granted to him, haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. So the safe haven was Zoar. And Lot reached there, but his wife didn't. But she did make some effort to reach that secure refuge, but she didn't reach it. She planned to get there. She tried to get there. It was her intentions to get there. But she perished along the way. And maybe you're here tonight and you know that Christ is the refuge that you need. You know that you need to be saved. You know that you have to have your sins washed away. And with all good intentions, you intend someday to get saved. You hope to get saved. You plan to get saved. But let me tell you something tonight. Lot's wife intended to reach Zoar, but she perished along the way. And maybe you're here tonight and you intend to get saved. But what would happen if you were to perish along the way? What happens if death were to overtake you just before you had planned? Just before you got saved, you'd be lost. Out into God's eternity forever and ever and ever. That's why the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Do you know why? Because it's only now that you're sure of. You're not even sure of the very next breath that you take. It's not enough for us to try our best. It's not enough to plan to get to heaven. It's not enough to have it as an intention. I had hoped to be here this Sunday, last Sunday. Whenever I received this book and then I wrote it into my diary, I intended to be here. But I don't know what circumstances would have it, whether I would or wouldn't. I have Children's Day's bookings for 2007. And I've had them for quite some time. I don't even have a 2007 diary. But with all good intention, I hope to be there. I hope to go there. Maybe you're the type of person that books a holiday a year in advance. And you pay it off all year and then you go on the holiday. And maybe you've been on holiday, and I know people like this, and they go on holiday and they've just come back from holiday, and they have now booked their holiday for this time next year. They intend to be there. But who knows what overtakes us in a year's time. And maybe you're here tonight and you intend to get saved. You don't know what will overtake you before you actually do. That's why it must be now. Lot's wife made an effort. Oh yes, she made an effort. Don't forget that. Lot's wife's intentions were good, but her end was bad. Friend, tonight I trust that your end will not be a bad one. I trust tonight that you'll get saved. Notice with me, remember the disobedience of Lot's wife. This is a very important one. Lot's wife perished, although she committed only one sin. One single sin. Do you know what that was? She was told not to look back. And that's exactly the very thing that she did. Flee for your life. Don't look back. And what did she do? She looked back. The very thing she was told not to do, that's the very thing that she did. She disobeyed and she looked back and she perished. One sin and she perished. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, Mark, I haven't committed any great sin. Mark, I don't do anything wrong. Mark, I don't do this or I don't do that. I don't go here or I don't go there. If you live the most upright, godly life in Coleraine, the original sin that man is born with is enough to keep us out of heaven. Lot's wife perished and she only committed one sin. One sin. And she was lost. She was disobedient. Sin always has a price. Let me ask you tonight, are you disobeying a solemn command to get saved? I'm telling you tonight, escape for your life. Get saved. Turn to Christ. Run to Christ. Are you going to obey or are you going to disobey? Lot's wife was disobedient. Not only was she disobedient, but she was full of unbelief. Did you ever think of that? Lot's wife was so full of unbelief that she believed there wouldn't be a punishment for looking behind. Do you think about that? Lot's wife not only was disobedient, but she was full of unbelief. Because she had been warned not to look behind. And what did she do? She looked behind. She was unbelieving. She didn't believe that there would be a consequence in disobedience. So she looked behind. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And the devil has fooled you into thinking that there is no consequence. No consequence whatsoever in putting off your salvation. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. Leave it to next week. Leave it to some other time. You think there is no consequence in being disobedient. You're full of unbelief. You don't believe that God's Spirit shall not always strive with man. You don't believe that now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You're here tonight and you believe that you can get saved as and when you like. Friend, that can't happen. Now is the accepted time. My Spirit shall not always strive with man. The unbelief and disobedience of Lot's wife
It cost her dearly. It cost her dearly. Remember with me the destruction of Lot's wife. Lot's wife perished although she was almost saved. Almost saved. The judgment of God fell upon her, not when she was miles or yards away from the place of safety, but when she was at the very gates of Zoar. Just as she was almost ready to go into the place of safety, she looked behind. And it was then that she was turned into a pillar of salt. She was almost there. A few more steps, and she was there. She was in. She was safe. How true it is to say that this woman was almost saved, but she was lost. She was almost within the gates of mercy, but yet she was still outside. And when you're outside, you're still in danger. How solemn this is. Remember Lot's wife. You're one step away from heaven tonight. One step. One step away from heaven. I wonder, will you trust Christ tonight? Why not take that one step and get down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, I know that I can't get to heaven myself. Lord, take away my sin. Lord, come into my heart and into my life. Remember Lot's wife. A few steps away from the place of safety, and she was lost. What if tonight were to be your last few steps? The last few steps that you were to take on this earth. And don't think it couldn't happen, because it could. The last few steps. Then where would your soul be? Take one step to Christ and be in heaven. How sad to be almost saved but lost. How sad it would be for you if you were to die unsaved. I believe that part of the torment in hell is not only a physical one, but it's a spiritual one, it's a mental one. And whenever a lost soul is lost for all of God's eternity, they can remember the times when preachers pleaded with them to get saved. They can remember the gospel messages after gospel messages. Sunday school teachers, children's workers, pleading with them to get saved. Memory verses, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's no rest in hell tonight. All of those things coming back into your mind. It haunts your mind. Do you ever have any bad memories? Things that come back into your mind and it torments you? Some bad experience, some bad dream, a bad relationship, a bad friendship, a bad business deal, something that comes into your mind sometimes and it torments you. Can you imagine what it's like for a lost soul in a lost sinner's hell? Remembering all of the privileges that they had, sitting in a church like this, sitting under gospel preaching with the very scriptures in their hand, reading the very words for themselves, singing the very hymns, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Singing the very question, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? What a privilege that is, to be lost forever. Do you mean to tell me that God is going to let that go unpunished? His own dear Son dying on the cross at Calvary to take away your sin, that you can just say, I don't want that, and go your own way and then die, and then, oh, well, I'll get to heaven somehow. Friend, it's not going to happen. I know people, I've spoken to people, and they're going to get to heaven. They can't tell me how. They can't tell me by what means. They're not just sure how it's going to happen, but they're convinced they're going to get to heaven. Do you know why? Because they're depending on self. Friend, it's all of Christ. It's all of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lot's wife had so much privilege, but she was lost. She was so near to safety, but she was lost. She was so near to salvation, but she was lost. Let me ask you tonight, does that describe you here in Korean? If you believe in the doom of a lost sinner, and this is for everyone tonight, if we are here tonight and we believe, unsaved and saved alike, if we believe that a lost sinner can be lost, we will make very sure of our own salvation. Lot's wife paid the price of her own sin. She was punished and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Why should you despise the Lord Jesus Christ? Turn over with me in closing to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 21. This is a tremendous portion of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 21.
For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Read that again. That's a tremendous verse. For he hath made him, that is God, made his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? The Lord Jesus Christ, he had no sin. He was perfect. He was the spotless Son of God. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In other words, friend, tonight, Jesus paid the price for your sin on the cross at Calvary. Why? Because he loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The gift of God is eternal life. Can you imagine what it would be like if you were to buy your wife flowers? She was to take those flowers from you and put them on the ground and jump on them. Could you imagine what it would be like at some time to buy your wife chocolates and to take the chocolates and throw them across the room? I know what I would say. That would be the last time you'll get them. But listen, here tonight the Lord Jesus Christ offers to you salvation. And what are you doing with it? You're trampling underfoot the Son of God, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight remember Lot's wife. From a place of privilege, cold rain for you tonight is your place of privilege. Yet she was lost. Our closing hymn tonight is 232. 232. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days. He called thee sorrow and pain. We want to sing verse 2 and 4. It talks about God's patience. We sing verse 2 and 4 of 232, standing as we sing.